Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us." The sin that doth so easily beset us. "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse 2, he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, my desire tonight is to get through these first two verses. I don't think we'll do it. I think we'll just get through verse number 1, and we'll take up verse 2, Lord willing, tomorrow night. But if I can get through both of them and not keep you too long, we'll try to keep both verses. But there's just so much that Paul has packed into these two verses. I don't want to rush going through it and miss what we have here in it. In chapter 11, what we were looking at last night, at the end of chapter 10 and all of chapter 11 there, is Paul gives us this hall of faith. He's describing for us these Old Testament saints and the exploits of their faith and their service to the Lord and what they showed in their lives, their faith toward the Lord, and what God had given for them, and their hope and their belief in the promises of God. They all, as he tells us here in the passage, they all died without receiving that promise. That is the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, they were all looking forward to his coming. We now are looking back to the fact that he has come. But again, whether looking forward or looking back, we are all saved the exact same way by grace through faith. That is how the Lord has redeemed both Old Testament saint and New Testament saint alike. And so we are looking back now at Christ Jesus and this work he has performed for us. We're told here in chapter 11 that these folks, all of these examples of great faith that God has written for us, we're told they are examples for us that we can look to, that we can maybe be inspired by seeing their story and reading what they were doing and reading how they believed God's promises. And so they're given to us as examples today. But now Paul ends this hall of faith with Christ Jesus himself. And ending with Christ, what Paul is pointing us to, notice again verse 2, like I said, we'll probably get into this tomorrow, but I just want you to see this point. Paul gives us all the examples there in chapter 11, but then he points to Jesus, says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." He's the one that we are to follow. I don't follow Abraham. I might look back to him, and I might see some example of his faithfulness. It might stir in me a desire to be more faithful. But I don't follow him. I follow Christ Jesus. I can look back and see Moses, and I can look at what he endured and the troubles and the trials that he faced, and I can see that example, and it might stir in me a desire to be more faithful. But I don't follow Moses, you see. I follow Christ Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the one that I am looking to. He is the one that I am following. And so as Paul gives us this list here of the faithful and what they performed and what they did with the faith that God had given them, he ends it here in chapter 12 with the Lord Jesus himself, the author and the finisher of our faith. And he is the one that Paul directs us, look unto him. Look unto him. He's the one that you're following. He's the one that you're walking behind. He is the one that has given you the faith. He is the one that has blazed the trail before you. And he is the one whose footsteps you're walking in. You're to be following the Lord. You're to be looking to Him, you see. And so he begins here in verse 1. He said, it describes these folks that he's just talked about there in chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He said, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now this wherefore, in verse 1 here, that first word, that takes us back to chapter number 10. Just before we started reading last night, we began there in verse 37. Go back up to verse 35. And that's where this wherefore takes us. This is where Paul starts talking about faith of chapter 11. And so this wherefore directs us back to what he's in reference to here. And he says in verse 35 of chapter 10, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And then he goes through chapter 11 and describes those promises that were given to these old. He said they didn't get them. They didn't receive the promises. And yet, even though they did not receive the promise, they continued faithful, knowing that the one who gave the promise was going to do it. And so they continued faithful. And as we talked about last night, one of my favorites there in verse 9 and 10 is concerning Abraham himself. That he was not satisfied with what was there in Canaan, but rather he knew God had something greater for him, and he looked for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. He continued to wonder because he knew God had something so much better. That God had made him promises, and the promises that God had made him, he was going to fulfill them. And yet they didn't see. They didn't see the fulfillment of all of those promises, especially the promise of the coming of the Messiah. They didn't see that, and yet they remained faithful. And Paul tells us here in verse 35 and 36, he said, we need to continue faithful. Because he's fulfilled the promise for us. Christ has come. He died on the cross. He redeemed us unto himself. It's fulfilled for us. That promise is done, and we're looking back to that finished work of our Lord Jesus. And Paul says he's already done it. He's fulfilled the promises. You need to continue patient. You need to continue faithful. Because he's kept his promises there. He's going to keep the other promises of his return and what he's going to do when he returns. He's going to keep all of them. He's proven himself. You need to continue patient. You need to continue to move forward. You need to continue, as he says here in chapter 12, run the race that is set before you. And he says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. I don't run anymore. I'm too old and too big to run anymore. Used to run all the time. When I was in the Army, we'd run. We'd get up in the morning and run. And I was skinny and could run like crazy, and I hated it then. I especially hated it now. But we would run and run and run and run, and you'd live. They'd get us out there running with boots on, and rucksacks, and helmets, and carrying them only in 16s, and we'd be running up and down them hills of Fort Knox, and oh, you hated every piece of weight that you were dragging around with you. Oh, why do I have to carry this stuff? Why do I have to have this stupid helmet on my head bouncing up and down? Why do I have to carry this rifle? Why, there ain't nobody shooting at me out here at Fort Knox. Why am I having to run with all this extra stuff, you know? As all that weight, that extra, that kept me from running like I wanted to. Paul says, lay aside every weight. Every weight, lay it aside. He said that word for weight there in the Greek means a tumor or a swelling. is what it means. Something that's growing off of you that you don't want on you. He says, lay that stuff aside. Lay that stuff aside. Don't let this world encumber you and weigh you down and keep you from running the race that God's given you to run. Lay those weights aside so that you're free from this, the confines of this world. You're free from the chains of this society that try to bind you down, and be free of those things that you can run the race that God's given you. He said, lay aside every weight. He uses here the illustration of the runners in the games. You see, that's, Paul does this often in his writing. He brings up the idea of those we call Olympic games today, but they had those games all over. It just wasn't at Olympus, but they had them all over the place throughout the Greek countryside there, and all the different cities would have their own games. And so he brings this to their attention, these idea of these games, and it would look silly if they're getting out there ready to run a sprint, and you've got these guys lined up on the starting line, and one of them comes running out there carrying a bunch of stuff with him. And everybody looking, what in the world is that coming down? He's getting ready to run a race. What's he got all that extra stuff for? And this is what Paul's calling us to here. We are in a run or a race of this life that God has given us and He has set before us. And we are to run faithfully in this race that He has set us in, and we as God's children are too often not single-minded enough to run the race that He's given us, because we keep looking behind us and looking aside, trying to carry everything with us, and trying to bring my old filth and my old flesh with me in the race, when I need to be casting all that stuff aside so I can run clean in that race without carrying everything else, you see. All of the excess that the world has to offer. The weight there is all that external that is around us, all that stuff that burdens us down. Paul says, cast that stuff off. Lay aside every weight. Now, in order to do that, that requires something of us. It's not easy. It's not easy to lay those weights down. We've grown attached to them. We like to hang on to them. Sometimes they're precious to us. We don't know how to let them go. And so it requires something of us in this daily race to lay that weight down. Matthew chapter 16. Hold your place here. We'll be right back to chapter 12. Go over to Matthew 16 and look with me at verse number 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. So then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. What we too often try to do is take up the cross and follow him without ever denying ourselves. And that's the weight. That's the weight that Paul's talking about. It requires something of us to die to self. And it's not something we do one time. It's something we have to do daily. And sometimes, many times in a day. You'll find yourself very easily, we can give in to self. Multiple times a day, we can give in to self. And we have to fight to run this race that we can lay aside, that we can deny self, to be able to take up the cross and follow our Lord like He's called us to. Are you really taking up the cross if you're not denying yourself? Really, without denying ourselves, we're just acting. That's all it is. And so it requires something of us. In Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us here in verse number 13, Romans chapter 8 is probably one of my favorite. I've got three that are my favorites. And Romans 8 is one of them, and so it just kind of falls open there in my Bible. I don't know about yours. I just love that passage of Scripture. But Romans 8, verse 13, Paul says here, he says, "For if ye live after the flesh, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." This is hard for us to grasp sometimes. This denying of self. Here Paul puts it in a way that's a little bit more drastic than just denying. He says, kill it. Kill it. Don't give it anything of nurture. Don't feed it in any way. Kill the flesh. That we can be able then to follow our Lord without being cumbered by this world. Kill it, he says. Now, that in order to kill it, that means it's more than just the denial of it, than just saying, well, I ain't going to pay attention to it. It means we're not going to feed our desires. We're not going to feed our lust. We're not going to feed those temptations that rise in us. We're not going to feed the desires of this old flesh. We're going to let it die. We're not going to give it anything it's wanting. And that process of mortification, again, it's just like the denial. It's something that takes place daily. And it's something that we need the Lord's help with when we do it. Because I'm just telling you straight out, we're weak. We're weak. And Jesus made it clear to us in John chapter 15, without me, ye can do a little bit. No, that's not what it says. Without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. We need Him for everything. Every day, every moment, we need our Lord. We need Him directing in our life. We need Him strengthening in us our path. We need Him helping us to mortify this old flesh. And so we need to be calling out to Him every single day. We need to be like Jacob and hanging on saying, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. That's what the Lord called the importunity. Hang on. We've got to hang on to it. We've got to hang on to our Lord. Because we cannot serve ourselves. We have to have Him. And so it takes Him to help us mortify the deeds of the flesh. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11. Peter writes here, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which, he says, war against the soul. They war against the soul. You see, they're more than just things weighing us down. They are things that are tearing us down. You see, it's not just the weight, but it is indeed something that is tearing us apart. It's something that is attacking us, these weights that we are trying to carry with us. We have to lay those things aside. We have to give those things up. We have to deny ourselves, mortify our flesh, that we might live as Christ has called us to live, that we might run as He's called us to run. The longer we run, the longer we've been in this life of Christ, the more conscious we become of the weights that we're running with. And we might look back in our lives and see all of those weights that we cast off along the way. Oh, I got rid of that one. Oh, I got rid of that one. That's so freeing when I got rid of that one right there. And oh, that one's laid aside. It's not bothered me in years. And this one is gone, and it's not bothering me now. But as we look back and we see those that have come off of us, we look down and realize, well, there's still some here. They're still here. And the longer we run, the more conscious we become of all the weights that the world has thrown at us and how easily they are for us to pick up. May God help us to lay aside those weights, that they're not keeping us from running the race that He's given for us to run. Lay aside every weight, he says. Now, each one of us has to determine, what are those weights that I'm carrying? What are those weights that are slowing me down? What are those weights that I'm trying to carry along with me in my everyday run to the Lord? We might try to make ourselves feel better about some of those weights at times. We can spin it around in our own mind and say, well, I'm carrying it for a reason. I'm trying to be a testimony to this particular individual here. It's important that I hang on to this so I make it part of the story that I'm telling. So we, you know, there's times that we try to rationalize in ourselves why we need to hang on to a particular weight. But you've got to remember, lead is just as heavy as gold. Cast those weights aside. Cast those weights aside and run. Run for the Lord. Then he says, and the sin. Not just the weights. Not just the things that the world tries to cumber us down with. But he says also the sin that doth so easily beset us. The sin that doth so easily beset us. That word beset is a Greek word for encompass us. It's that sin that's all around us. It seems like it's ever present on our minds. Ever present upon our hearts. It's that indwelling corruption and perversion that rest to the hearts of men. In the context here, particularly, Paul is referencing unbelief. And we all struggle with that sin of unbelief. The disciples said, we believe, Lord. Help our unbelief. We all struggle with that. That's that whole reality of what Paul is trying to teach us here in this passage of holding fast to the faith that's been given us. That we don't get troubled down. We don't become unbelieving toward the things that God has given us. And it's easy for us to. It's so easy for us to not believe. so easy. Because we'll start rationalizing in our own minds. I caught myself doing this. I made mention to the boys in Sunday school Sunday. I caught myself doing this praying for one of our church members. He's 89 years old and he's struggling with cancer and it's all over him. And I was praying for him. And he's ready to go. He's ready for the Lord to take him on home. But we still pray for God to heal him. I mean, if that's the Lord's will, he can do it, right? I mean, he's got all power. He can do it if he wants to. But I got to where I was discouraged over it myself. Like, oh, all right, Lord, I know you're probably not going to heal him, but just give him comfort in these days. And I caught myself, even in that prayer, that here I'm praying in unbelief. Yeah, I know it's the Lord's will. The Lord's going to do what and that's how we should pray. Not my will, but thine be done. But we should pray believing. I mean, he's asked to be put on our prayer list. We've got it on our prayer list. We're praying. That the reason he's on the prayer list, we're praying, Lord, healing. And I was, the very reason he asked to be put on, the very reason we put him on, and I was praying in unbelief over that very prayer request that he had asked us to pray. Because I had rationalized it. Oh, he's 89 years old. His cancer's all over the north. I'm going to do that. I rationalized it out myself, you see. What I believe, help. Help my unbelief. Because it so easily creeps in on us. So easily creeps in on us. That we don't, we find ourselves doubting. We find ourselves doubting what God might do. Or what He can do. And listen, my God can do all things. He can do all things. And so in our, we can very easily allow that unbelief to encompass us. And so Paul says, lay aside that sin that does so easily beset us. Maybe it's not unbelief, maybe it's something else. Maybe you've got a particular sin. You hear people call them pet sins, you know. Maybe you have a pet sin. You get up every morning and you pet it. And you feed it. And you take it out for walks. And then it's time to come to church, and all right, you got to go back in the closet, and I'll come back and hit you after church is over with. Oh, so easy. So easy. Paul says, lay those things aside. Lay them aside. They're hindering you from your walk in Christ. They're hindering you from this race that you're supposed to be running. And you might have every excuse that you can come up with in your own mind to excuse yourself, but it will not excuse you before the Lord. He's called you to holiness. He's given you the righteousness of Christ. Don't take it. Lay it aside. Come to Him for forgiveness. Be faithful. Be faithful every day to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. He says, we ask Him. John said there, 1 John chapter 1, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lay aside every sin that does so easily beset you. We cannot run the race that God has given us when we are burdened down with our own wickedness. Ephesians chapter 4, look with me there, verse number 22. Ephesians 4, verse number 22. Paul says here that put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Lay aside, put off, he says, concerning that former conversation of the old man. Put that aside. Don't be hanging on to that. How is it that it's possible for a child of God to get cumbered down with wickedness and sin? Romans chapter 6. Look here, Romans 6, verse number 11 and verse number 12. He reminds us again here, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Die to it, he said. Kill it. Don't allow it a place in your life. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead to that sin. Don't give it a place. Don't give it an opportunity to be in your heart, to be in your daily walk, to be in your life, to be in your household, to be in your family. Don't give it a place. Cut it off. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Indwelling sin is to be laid aside, and as we already read there about that daily dying to it there in Romans 8. And by grace to resist the temptations that's brought before us. Titus chapter 2, Paul says there in verse 11 and verse number 12, Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Denying ungodliness, denying worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly. Die to those sins, that we might live for our Lord. And we are to be a repenting and confessing and forsaking kind of people. Repenting, confessing, and forsaking. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Solomon writes here, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Don't hang on to them. Don't try to cover them up. Don't try to keep them in a closet. Don't try to keep them bound up in you. But lay them aside. Cast them off. Die to them daily, that we can run the race that He's given us to run. And so He says, let us run with patience. Let us run with patience. This race is not a race of speed, but rather a race of perseverance, a race of discipline. It may be a jog at times. Other times it may just be a walk. Other times it might be a full sprint. But whatever the path is before us, we are to continue faithful in it. Continue in that run. Continue faithful as we go forward. Let it not be said of us, as Paul said to the Galatians there in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 7, he said, "Ye did run well." I don't want to hear "you did run well." I want to hear "you're running." You're running. Don't let it be said of us that we used to run, but that we're still moving in the race. That we're still pressing toward the finish line. There's never a time in this race, there's never a time for slumber. There's not a time of rest. Our rest is at the finish line. That's what we're getting after, you see. That's what we're headed for. And so we're to continue in the run. The leisure will be then, when we're at last in our Savior's presence. When we at last come before Him. But as long as we are in this flesh, run. Run. Keep running. Keep running. The race that is set before us. A.W. Pink wrote a little statement here, and I'll read it to you concerning this race. He said, "Many erroneously suppose that they'd make much more progress spiritually if only their circumstances were altered. This is a serious mistake and a murmuring against God's providence. He shapes our circumstances." He's got those in quotation marks. "He shapes our circumstances as a helpful discipline to the soul. And only as we learn to rise above circumstances and walk with God in them are we then running the race that is set before us. The person is the same no matter what circumstances he may be in." The person is the same no matter what circumstances he may be in. So listen, I can look around at my circumstances at times and say, "Lord, you know, this race wouldn't be easier if this thing here wasn't in my way. Or if this right here, this obstacle that you've got right here, Lord, if this was out of my way." That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he's talking about that thorn in the flesh. He said he besought the Lord thrice that he would be removed from it. "Lord, I think I could serve you better if this wasn't inflicting me. I believe I could reach so many more people with the gospel if this thing wasn't on me." He said 3 times he prayed that it be removed from him. And God in His great grace said, "No. No, Paul. That's not what I'm going to do. That's not my purpose in it, Paul." You see, God has given us the path that we are in. He has set that course before us to run that race. And those things, those obstacles that might be in our path are there to strengthen us, not to slow us down. They are there to build us up in who our Lord is and the strength that we have in Him, because His strength, as He told Paul, is made perfect in weakness. And so it's in our inability, it's in our slowing down because of the obstacles that God in His grace shines forth more clearly His strength in us, you see. That it builds our faith. It builds our ability to run the race so that when we get over that obstacle and we come to the next one, we can look at it and say, you know, that other one, no big deal. Lord, help me over this one. I'll get over that one too. And we continue on in the run, you see. Now, our circumstances, as Pete puts it, our circumstances are all different. We all are running the same race with the same finish line, but your track may have obstacles in it that my track don't. And my track may have obstacles in it that yours don't. I might have more hills than you do. You might have more valleys than I do. Let me tell you, sometimes it's just as hard to run over the hill as it is to run up it. Especially when you got a load on. After you can lay them weights aside. And so, run the race with patience that is set before you. We don't know the obstacles that we're going to run into along the way. And we don't know the length of our race. We'll know the finish line when we get there. But we don't know how long we'll be running. We do not know the hills or the straight stretches. But we all have a race. We all have a course to complete. And it's a course that our Lord has already run before us. He's already running. All we have to do is follow His footsteps. Follow Him. Follow Him. The track that we are given, even though we don't know what's lying before us, our Lord does. Because He's the one that has set it for us. He's sovereign. If you come to an obstacle, it's because He has put that obstacle there or allowed it to be put there. But that obstacle is there because the Lord wanted it to be there. He wanted it in your path. And so when we run this race, as Paul says, it takes patience and it takes faith. Because when we come to those trials, when we come to those situations, when we come to those circumstances, we have to look to our Lord and say, Lord, I don't know why this is here, but You do. Help me through it. Help me through it. You've promised. It don't look good to me. It looks like it's going to hurt me, but You've promised that it will be for my good. And run on. Run on the race that is set before me. Ephesians chapter 2. One more verse here. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 10. Paul is just described here in this passage how our salvation has come to us. How He has brought it to us. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, God has intervened on our behalf for His great mercy wherewith He loved us and gave us Christ. And He says there in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then notice what he says there in verse 10. Can't overlook that in regards to our salvation. So many today, they look at the life of Christ and the only thing they're concerned about or the only thing they think about is their salvation. And listen, that is of utmost importance because you don't have a race to run. without your salvation. If you're not one of His, you don't have a course. You're following the course of the world. That's what He says there in verse number 3, or 2 and 3 right here in this very passage. Your course, you don't have a race set by God for you to run. And if you're out there with the world, you're just running the course of their own. You see. But because of Christ, because of Him, we are not only saved, but He has given us the race to run. He's given us a life to live for Him. So it's not just about the moment that I was saved, but it's about the moment ever since I've been saved. You see, it's about every daily moment that my Lord has given me that I would live for Him in it. You see, and this is what He tells us here in verse number 10. Verse 8, He tells us, "For by grace through faith are you saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." How I got my salvation was by grace through faith. It's totally a gift from God. Nothing I've done to earn it. I can't do it. It's an impossibility. It comes from Him. But then notice verse 10. He says, "For we are His workmanship." That word workmanship is the Greek word poimia. It's where we get our word poem from. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Our course is already set. The obstacles are already in place. And God knows every one of them. And He has put them there, not against you, but for you. Not only has He put them there for you, but He has determined you'll get through them. He has ordained them to be performed by you. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Run the race with patience. Put off everything that's slowing you down. Ask yourself right now, am I running? Am I running? Am I running like I'm supposed to be? What is keeping me from the run that God has given me? Lay aside. Lay aside and run. Run. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll look there at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you're not in the race today, I beg of you, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Run to Him, because He is the only Savior. He is the only Lord. There is no life besides Him. He is, as He declared, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It has to be through Him. He's very exclusive that way. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. Run to Christ Jesus. Look, don't touch him.